your dial out, here's monitor. Lean back and stay a while now, here's monitor.
Gene Rayburn, good friends and gentle listeners, with Monitor 67 on the first Saturday in June, the month that rhymes with moon and spoon and swoon, which is what the ladies do at the mere mention of movie star Hugh O'Brien, who'll be along in just a couple of minutes. And, June rhymes with tune, too.
There's the kind of walk you walk when the world's undone you. There's the kind of walk you walk when you're walking proud.
There's the kind of walk you walk when the neighbors shun you.
There's the kind of walk you walk sets you above the crowd. There's the kind of walk you walk when somebody loves you. That's the very
Lawrence and Edie Gourmet with one of their latest. Incidentally, Steve is going to play an important role in Monitor's 12th birthday party next weekend, and it's going to be a radio first. Prize-winning composers Sammy Kahn and Jimmy Van Heusen are going to write a brand new song during the course of the weekend right on the air in the studio right next door here where we have a piano, and we'll check in on them from time to time. Then at the end of the weekend, Steve Lawrence will come in and sing the song for its premiere performance as the big finale to Monitor's birthday weekend. So you plan to have a radio handy wherever you are next Saturday and Sunday, and don't miss the fun. There are dozens of other features and scores of famous people, too, and more music and news and everything, so you come to the party, Monitor's 12th birthday celebration on NBC. Monitor covers a great deal of territory every weekend, but we'd have to go some to top the continent-hopping activities of the dashing young man with me now at Radio Central, actor Hugh O'Brien. Now, Hugh, tell our listeners where you've been most recently, and then we'll talk about where you're headed, okay?
Well, Gene, actually, I was only home 20 days last year, but I do enjoy traveling. It's one of the great things about show business. You get a chance to meet people in different lands. Most recently, we were in Africa for about 3.5 months, making a picture for Paramount, and Ivan Torres called Africa, Texas Style, which recently opened around the country.
What was the first title?
It was originally called Cowboy in Africa, but they decided to change that, and they came up with something really worse. It's called Africa, Texas Style. Actually, it tells exactly what it is. It's about two cowhands that go to Africa to rope all the wild animals off horseback. And the interesting thing about Africa, Texas Style is that the four-quarter horses, or cutting horses, roping horses, if you will, that we took from California spent about 2.5 months out at the jungle compound getting used to the smells and the sights of the wild animals there. Of course, they're tame there. So that when they came over to Africa, we flew them over. And by the way, if you're interested in shipping horses to Africa, it costs for four horses $35,000.
$35,000?
And that's getting, an economy lunch. But anyway, they flew them over, and the animals, quite interestingly enough, the horses, had no fear of the wild animals. And strangely enough, the wild animals, including the elephant and the lion, had no fear of the horses. Of course, the lion would have liked to have gotten to the horses, because zebra is one of their favorite meat. But because of the fact that they had four legs, we were able to get up on horseback within 20 to 25 feet, 30 feet, to these wild elephant herds and herds of eland. And we roped every animal in Africa, including the very dangerous Cape buffalo.
That long cowboy series you did for television paid off. Is that where you learned to rope, or were you a roper before then?
No, I learned to rope when I used to go after my father with a rope to get my allowance once a week. And it's a wonderful family film. At the end of the picture, they were all released back into the jungle. And in our story, the same thing happens in the story, that we release them. Of course, we controlled it when we released them. We had a corral about 35 acres so we could round them up again in case it didn't work right. But at the end of the picture, we actually did release them into the jungle. And as it says in our picture, about a day and a half later, every one of them came back into the corral.
No.
And they brought some of their friends with them.
Really?
Yeah, they figured, well, they were looking for... we got a good thing here, fellas. Let's go back there and get fed every day.
Free handout. Yeah. So they
came
back.
It was really something. And, you know, I thought about going on a safari, a hunting safari, afterwards, and so did Mr. Mills and the family, his family, and... But after working with those animals...
You've had it, haven't you?
And they would come up, and after a day and a half, even the rhinoceros, you could feed my hand. You could tame them just like horses, dogs. They became so tame that they ate right out of your hand, oranges. You could put your whole hand in their mouth. I didn't put it in the mouth of the rhino.
So the fact
is... He smelled bad, but anyway...
we all could live side by side in this world.
Well, they do in Africa. Yeah. And, of course, the whole theme of the picture is game ranching, developing... these wild herds, these wild animals, much as we do our cattle, to preserve the species and also to provide protein. The country, Africa, is very protein poor, and this would they're trying to do that in Africa now, this game ranching idea, and our picture is the first one about that.
Hugh, how long are you going to be in America now?
Well, actually, I'm going to Vietnam. We're leaving on June 8th, and I'm taking the whole tour of Guys and Dolls to Vietnam, Thailand, and Japan, too.
Well, that's
trips.
That cut-down version you did at the White House here a couple months ago, isn't it?
Yes, we did it for the president and the dinner he had for the governors, and the reception was so enthusiastic for the show that I figured I'd been to Vietnam, shaking hands with the guys about a year ago, and I wanted to go back because I don't care what anybody thinks about the war. I figure if you got 400,000 guys over there, they deserve to be supported. And as an ex-Marine, I know how much the USO meant to me in the Second World War. And every one of the kids that I asked felt to go on this tour felt the same way I did. There wasn't one person that didn't want to go. Mm-hmm. I got 17 great people going with me.
Mm-hmm. I think it's a marvelous idea. Is it USO-sponsored?
USO, Hollywood Coordinating Committee, through the Defense Department. So any contribution you folks out there make to the USO, believe me, none of this is costing the taxpayer anything. I'm doing it for nothing, and I'm paying my own expenses completely. And so your donations, this is what it helps to do as far as the USO is concerned. It's not costing the taxpayer any money at all.
And may we wish you and your troop bon voyage, Hugh O'Brien.
Thank you very much, Jane. See you when I get back, I hope.
Okay. Hugh O'Brien promises to come back to Monitor sometime after his Vietnam trip.
Miss O'Brien?
The mailbox says O'Brien. Or do you want to bet I'm Cleopatra?
No, I'm from International Harvester, Mrs. O'Brien. About your Cub Cadet tractor.
Cash we paid. We don't owe you a nickel.
Just a survey. We say this is no toy, but a tractor built like the big IH tractors. You agree?
Huh. O'Brien should be built so good.
Which model do you have?
O'Brien or the tractor?
The tractor. 7 horsepower? 10?
12. With hydrostatic transmission. When O'Brien works, he wants it done in a hurry.
And what does he do with his extra free time now?
Like always. Me waiting on him hand and foot.
But his hobbies?
Just having me wait on him. And now that he's got that cadet, it's 15 or 20 more hours a week. So you get on out of here with your survey. I haven't sat down since he got it.
Here's a bonus for you. Buy a new Cub Cadet lawn and garden tractor, 7, 10, or 12 horsepower. Anytime before July 1st from a participating dealer, you'll get an international rotary mower free. Now, to find your cadet dealer, you simply phone Western Union. Ask for operator 25. In a couple of minutes, we'll be taking you to the United Nations for a live report on the deliberations of the Security Council there regarding the crisis in the Middle East. The time right now, 19 and a half minutes past the hour, and you're on the Monitor Beacon.
Hello, Brad. This is Lee.
Yes, my boy. I can see.
Let's discuss.
Without fuss.
The way we handle...
calls for Crandall.
And for Leonard.
Splendid.
I mean...
Oh, no.
I mean...
How so?
On the phone. I insult
you. My dear boy. And the result?
They call again.
Good grief. When?
Every day.
You don't say. Now, I'm nice.
No advice?
Oh, I'm nice.
That's twice.
On the phone, I'm polite.
My good man, is that right?
Well, they keep calling.
How appalling.
Every day.
What a way.
It seems clear to me.
We don't quite agree.
Ah, but I know.
On your show.
The caller's all clamor.
Well, Lee Leonard's glamour.
And Brad Crandall's wise winning ways.
Listen to us on WNBC.
And call us at Plaza 78866.
Weekdays from 1 till 4.
Weeknights from 9 till midnight.
WNBC New York, the big voice of Big Town USA, answers your questions.
Gene Rayburn once again with a Monitor News special. With a crisis continuing in the Middle East, the United Nations Security Council is in session. For a report, we now switch to Wilson Hall, NBC News at the United Nations.
The Bulgarian representative at the United Nations has presented here the communist and presumably the Arab point of view as how the situation in the Middle East could be pacified. He said that they must go back to the Mixed Armistice Commission, the General Armistice of 1948. That would mean, of course, that Israel would not have the port of Eilat on the Gulf of Aqaba at all. After the 1956 Suez Crisis, Israel refused to have anything to do with the Mixed Armistice Commission. So the Bulgarian, speaking probably for the communists, although the USSR is to speak later this morning, is presented what seems to be the communist view, and that is there must be some arrangement with the General Armistice of 1948 to turn, in fact, the calendar back 19 years. Syria and Morocco, two Arab nations, have just spoken. Both of them have emphasized and alleged that it was Zionist aggression in the Middle East that has caused all the problems, and Zionist aggression, again alleged, supported by the United States. There are five more speakers this morning, or this afternoon, depending on when they break for lunch, if they do. Everyone is wanting to hear, of course, is the USSR, Ambassador Fedorenko, and also the ambassador from France, Mr. Seydoux. France has had not much to say here in the United Nations in the five meetings in the past week. There undoubtedly will be no voting on the three or four resolutions that are floating around, mainly because the voting seems to be deadlocked on whether or not the Egyptian blockade of the Gulf of Aqaba is legal or not. Wilson Hall, NBC News at the United Nations.
For further developments in this and any other important news stories, you stay with Monitor and NBC News all through the weekend.
If there's but one strand of hair on top of your head, give it a break before it drops dead. Even a kid who's got more than his share should make extra sure he shampoos it with care. So pick up a tube of Breck Concentrate Shampoo. Cleans each strand so gently it's a hair saver for you. And the whole family will have hair that looks great because Breck quality is in Breck Concentrate. Sounds quite expensive? Then price it. You'll see how much can be saved when you buy quality. If you've a strand to your name, shampoo it with care. Try Breck Concentrate. It cleans every hair.
You've heard of the language of love, I'm sure, and you've also heard that music is the international language, but do you know what the silent language is? Well, if you'll all be very quiet and listen carefully, Dr. Joyce Brothers, the noted psychologist who is heard regularly on Monitor, will elucidate.
Wouldn't you like to be able to tell when others are telling you fibs? Then listen with your eyes. Anybody can tell lies with his tongue. It's more difficult to tell an untruth with your body. To the trained observer, what he sees is as important as what he hears. Posture, hands, eyes, and little nervous movements often tell a larger story, or a different one, than a speaker's words. The trouble is that this silent language is also more difficult to understand. It's not a standardized vocabulary like our written and oral one. Each person has his own way of expressing himself with his body. You're more apt to read correctly the people you know best, that is, if you've been observant and your own emotions or desires don't get in the way. Suppose you want your husband to take you to a party, for instance. Then, when he comes home from the office, you'll want to believe his assurance that he feels great and not notice his lumbering gait and the heavy way he turns his whole body at once, instead of swinging his head and shoulders around first. To an expert, this block turning would be a dead giveaway that the man under observation was depressed about something. Since you know your husband well, you may come to the same conclusion and tell him that you don't mind missing the party a bit. You may choke on these words, betraying the lie. He may cough, betraying his inability to swallow your lie. Then you'll ask him what went wrong at the office while you scratch vigorously, a sign that the whole situation has gotten under your skin. If he prefaces his answer to your question by crossing his legs and his arms and leaning back in his chair, you may be sure you're not going to get the whole story in words, or at least not the important part. He's setting up a barrier against you. This is when it pays to listen with your eyes. Does he chew on his finger while he explains that he didn't want special credit for the big job he just finished? That says more plainly than words that he's really hungry for appreciation and resents not getting it. Does he clench his fist as he tells you what a good guy the boss is? If you want the truth, believe that hand that's primed to fight. And what about you? Do you listen, swinging one leg in an arc? That may mean you'd like to kick the boss, or possibly your husband. He may know which and why, and take you to the party after all. This is Dr. Joyce Brothers for Monitor.
And I've been watching for the signal which will allow me to tell you that Dr. Brothers has been honored in a United Press International this past week as one of the 10 most influential American women, along with, among others, Mrs. Lyndon Johnson, Mrs. John F. Kennedy, Alabama Governor Mrs. Lurleen Wallace, and we congratulate her and all of those ladies. We'll be hearing from Dr. Joyce Brothers, as always, on weekends here on Monitor. You're traveling through the weekend world with Springtime Monitor.
When you think of air conditioning, think of Central Air Conditioning, think of cooling your whole home, not just a room or two. Bryant Air Conditioning is the best air conditioning. Bryant cools your whole home, not just a room or two.
And Bryant Gas Air Conditioning reduces humidity, dust, dirt, and pollen. It's quiet. And because it's gas, it's economical. It has fewer major moving parts, so there's less to wear out in service. Most gas companies sell and service Bryant and offer low-interest financing with easy monthly payments.
When you think of air conditioning, think of Central Air Conditioning. Think of cooling your whole home, not just a room or two. Bryant Air Conditioning is the best air conditioning.
Free estimate, call your gas company or your Bryant dealer.
Ralph Carmichael's orchestra, the tune, Man with a Load of Mischief. Monitor, with a full schedule of top-quality entertainment and information, is heard coast-to-coast on NBC, in the Sacramento Valley on KCRA, Sacramento, California. A brief pause here, then on we'll go. Gene Rayburn.
This is Kurt Gowdy. I'll be with you later today on Monitor Outdoors on NBC Radio.
Hey, miss.
Yes.
Where do I catch the Boston Yellowbird?
Right here, sir. Northeast Airlines. All jets leaving at 7:30, 8:30, 9:30, 10:30, 11:30, 12:30, 1:30, 2:30, 3:30, 4:30.
I'm Sean Connery, asking your help in the fight against MS, multiple sclerosis, the great crippler of young adults. MS is a disease of the central nervous system, the brain and spinal cord. It blocks or scrambles the nerve messages that let us walk, talk, see, even move. Now, it can happen to anyone, most often between the ages of 20 and 40. There are usually long years of increasing disability, frequently eventual paralysis. There is no cure for MS yet, but there is hope, through research. And this is sponsored by the National Multiple Sclerosis Society. Our contributions could help discover that cure. Now, when your neighbor, the MS volunteer, calls at your home, give as generously as you can. I thank you.
Hello there, Gene Rayburn here with more of the now sounds of Monitor 67. And if you're having any trouble at all paying attention, especially if you're driving, you'd better pay very close attention to this.
And best personal regards, sincerely, etc., etc. Now read that back to me, Miss Jones. Miss Jones.
When you can't afford to be dull, sharpen your wits with No-Doze. No-Doze Keep Alert tablets or new chewable mints, safe as coffee, help you become more naturally alert to people and conditions around you.
Sharpen your wits with No-Doze. No-Doze keeps you alert.
And now, the Sandpipers. Applause, applause, applause. To evoke images of beautiful beaches, swaying palm trees, the whole romantic Caribbean scene with Bonsoir Dame.
Bonsoir Dame, Madame de Dodo. Bonsoir Dame, Madame de Dodo. Greenwood close to our village, a quiet pool lies still and deep. The evening sounds and forest birds have gently lulled my love to sleep. Bonsoir, dame, Madame de Dodo. Bonsoir, dame, Madame de Dodo. Bonsoir, dame, Madame de Dodo. Bonsoir, dame, Madame. Sing softly, birds, and don't awake her. She doesn't know how my heart aches. I've never dared to say I love you. I'll tell her now before she wakes. Bonsoir, dame, Madame de Dodo. Bonsoir, dame, Madame de Dodo. Bonsoir, dame. It seems a pity now to wake her. I'd rather stay here and pretend. If we could only stay forever, then our dreams would never.
Now everybody.
This is Coppertone's Hollywood correspondent, Army Archer, visiting beautiful Tippi Hedren. And everyone's talking about your exciting performance in the movie A Countess from Hong Kong, Tippi.
Oh, I thank you, Army. It was a thrill making it.
Remember when I visited you on the set in London?
Oh, indeed I do. Wasn't that a cold, blustery day?
Awful.
You know, this is what I like, being in the warm sun and getting a tan with Coppertone.
So you've joined the Tannibals, eh, Tippy?
Oh, of course. I found Coppertone gives a better tan.
Yes, it's enriched to make your skin more tannable and to help prevent dryness, too.
I'll tell you something else, Army. I found that my skin was in so much better condition in the summer from using Coppertone that I use it all year round now as a body moisturizer.
That's a beauty secret the girls will thank you for.
Well, it's no secret that I'm a Coppertone fan.
Tan, don't burn. Wouldn't you say, Tippy?
I'd say, tan, don't burn, use Coppertone, Army.
And you're right. Thanks, Tippy Hedren.
In the grim annals of the war in Vietnam, a prominent place must be given to that relatively new air arm, the helicopter, which is constantly employed by the various U.S. armed services there. A report now on one aspect of their activities from Jack Russell, NBC News at Dong Ha, South Vietnam.
Marine helicopter pilots are fighting their own dangerous war along the demilitarized zone in South Vietnam. The helicopters take ammunition and supplies to the Marines fighting in the field, and they bring out the wounded. The missions are made hazardous by extremely accurate communist mortar and machine gun fire. In the ready room of Marine Air Group 16, pilots gather to be briefed on their next missions and to talk over previous trips. Captain Cedric Bevis of Hinsdale, New Hampshire, got a close look at the enemy.
Have you had any close calls recently?
Yes, I have. 3 days ago, we got pretty well shot up in the zone. We were on a recon insert. This is where we bring our reconnaissance teams out. We land them in an area that we don't know. We don't have very much intelligence on. These people stay on the ground 4 or 5 days, basically to gather information, enemy movements, etc. And it's pretty hairy work for these people. They're all by themselves. And on this day, we went out, placed this team. It was right on the southern border of the demilitarized zone. As we came in for a landing, we received no fire and thought we were all set. Immediately upon touching down, I observed flashes off to my 10 o'clock position and heard the boom of the rounds going by. And I called the fire to all the aircraft. And suddenly it stopped, and everybody said, "Are you sure?" Because, and I felt kind of silly having everybody think, well, maybe, I'm yelling on a wild goose chase here. And took about 10 seconds. By this time, our team was out the back of the aircraft, and I looked over, and the flashes started again, and I could see a real weird little weapon sitting over there with the, and it jammed on the man. And I went for my pistol and thought, well, this is senseless. He's got me at that range, he can't miss. However, his gun jammed again. By this time, we had the team back in. We had to leave 2 men in the zone. We couldn't get them back in, and we came under real heavy automatic weapons fire. We lifted out of the zone, and we had actually landed right over 2 what we call spider holes. The NVA dig holes right in these zones. They put lids on them, and we found out lately some of them have armament on the top. We'd landed directly over 2 of them. I didn't realize this until I started calling for my gunner, 50 caliber machine gunner, to fire at my 10 o'clock to suppress this character that was firing at me. And I heard him firing, but yet he wasn't firing at the target I'd called. And finally he brought it around. This time we'd lift it out, and he explained to me that we'd landed stride 2 of these spider holes, and he had 2 NVA jump up right underneath him, and he fired it probably 5 feet away. It was 50 caliber. We received 3 holes through one of our fuel cells. We lost 1,000 pounds of fuel in about 11 miles. That's how big a hole it was.
What happened to the 2 Marines you had to leave behind?
Well, our wingman came down. He was. We always go out with a wingman. And after we lifted off, we notified him that we'd had to leave 2 in the zone. He immediately came down right behind us through the fire. And he touched down, air taxied up the side of this hill, keeping this little hill between him and all the automatic fire, and picked up the 2 Marines and made it out all right. He didn't receive a hit.
What's your name, by the way?
Oh, Captain Bevis from HMM-265.
What's your full name?
If you laugh, it'll be all over. It's Cedric. Cedric Bevis.
Where's your hometown?
Okay, I'm from Hinsdale, New Hampshire right now. That's where my mother lives at this time.
Thank you very much.
Jack Russell, NBC News, reporting for Monitor from Dong Ha, South Vietnam.
The war in Vietnam continues with all its political, economic, and social, as well as military aspects. And NBC News and Monitor keep you informed on all the important developments. You're traveling through the weekend world with Springtime Monitor.
When you think of air conditioning,
conditioning your entire house with Brian Quiet Line Air Conditioning. You'll keep cool and won't have to put up with so much humidity, dust, dirt, and noise. Check with your Brian dealer for more information on Brian Quiet Line Air Conditioning. We call it Quiet Line because it really is.
When you think of air conditioning, think of Central Air Conditioning. Think of cooling your whole home, not just a room or two. Bryant Air Conditioning is the best air conditioning. Bryant owns your whole home, not just a room or two.
For a free estimate, see the yellow pages for the Bryant dealer nearest you.
Hello.
Oh, hello, Mrs. Baker?
That's me, honey. Same as the name on the door.
I'm doing a survey for International Harvester. Mr. Baker owns a Cub Cadet tractor?
Yes, lovely little machine. Built for keeps, you know. Just like the big IH tractor.
Right, and which model do you have?
The big husky one, doll. The Tiger.
I see. 12 horsepower. That's a gear drive or hydrostatic transmission?
Honey, do I look like a mechanic to you?
No. No, you certainly don't. Tell me, now that the cadet zips through all the yard work around here, how does your husband spend his extra free time? What's his hobby?
Well, would you believe he spends a lot of time on the golf course?
Here's a bonus for you. Buy a new Cub Cadet lawn and garden tractor, 7, 10, or 12 horsepower, anytime before July 1st from a participating dealer. And you'll get an International rotary mower free. Now, to find your cadet dealer, you simply phone Western Union, ask for operator 25. In a couple of minutes, we'll be taking you to the United Nations for a live pickup of the deliberations of the Security Council there regarding the Middle East crisis. So you stay on the Monitor Beacon.
Big Town, USA. Focal point of the world, place of people, place of greatness, whose environs encompass the totality of today, headquarters of the United Nations, of the world of communications, center of the arts, Big Town, USA, place of action, holding forth its promise of now, making each moment alive. And WNBC, the big voice of Big Town, communicates these living moments to you.
WNBC New York, the big voice of Big Town USA, is the sound of people.
Gene Rayburn again at 12 and a half minutes before the monitor hour. And here's something to make a note of. A powerful, provocative program is scheduled for tomorrow evening in the NBC News Second Sunday series. It's titled The Doorway to Death, and it's about a 19-year-old who was twice sentenced to death. This is the story of how he got to the death row in San Quentin and what he did as he awaited his fate, how he prepared himself. You'll be sure to listen to this special program tomorrow evening in the NBC News Second Sunday series over most of these same stations.
Agent 00 Breck has a suds balm for you. But you don't have to duck. It's only shampoo. And so gentle to hair that the whole family will be looking just swell. Try it, you'll see. That big sudsy balm is Breck Concentrate. What a shampoo. It makes you feel great. In each plastic tube at a price that's quite low is Breck quality for a gal or her beau. Just a dab of shampoo, some water, then wow, Breck Concentrate lathers up with a pow. A balm full of suds is a feeling that's great with the gentle power of Breck Concentrate.
Now, a Monitor News special. The crisis continues in the Middle East. The United Nations Security Council is in session. For a report, we now switch to Wilson Hall, NBC News at the United Nations.
The principal subject being discussed here this morning in the Security Council is Egypt's blockade of the Gulf of Aqaba and the maritime powers' efforts to keep the Gulf of Aqaba free for shipping and navigation for all countries. The Moroccan representative had this to say.
Once again, we are told of a conference of maritime powers. Now, my country cannot oppose the right of any states to meet.
That was the Moroccan representative to the United Nations, one of the Arab countries, which spoke this morning. The communist countries have said nothing about the Gulf of Aqaba this morning, except that Arab sovereignty, there is Arab sovereignty over the Gulf of Aqaba, which no one, of course, denies. The ambassador from the USSR, Mr. Fedorenko, is speaking at the present time, just begun to speak, and is undoubtedly going to talk about that. The fight here is about the freedom of navigation of the Gulf of Aqaba, and there are several resolutions before the council. However, that probably will not be discussed here today. Wilson Hall, NBC News, United Nations.
For further developments in this and other important news stories, you stay with Monitor and NBC News all through the weekend.
Did he say to go 4 miles to Route 3 and then take a left?
I said to go 3 miles to Route 4 and turn right.
I distinctly heard him say
the next time you take a trip, a couple of weeks before you plan to leave, stop at a mobile station and ask for a mobile travel routing form. You just fill in where you're going, and mobile will send you a marked route map, a booklet of travel and safety tips, and brochures that tell you things to see and do along your way.
Maybe it was 5 miles to Route 6.
It's a good way to get there.
On deck now, Monitor Sports with Joe Garagiola, brought to you by the Great American Insurance Companies, protecting the nation through hometown insurance agents. Okay, Joe, you're up.
The game isn't musical chairs, it's musical saddles. And I'll be back to discuss that after this from the Great American Insurance Companies.
Finlay Press, Finlay speaking.
Hey, Finn. How about knocking off work this afternoon and taking in the ball game? I got an extra ticket.
Oh, boy. Sorry, can't make it. Important day to you.
Well, what's so important?
This insurance agent for Great American is coming over with a new package deal they worked up for me.
What do you mean, worked up for you?
Great American makes up a policy especially for print shops, like mine. You wouldn't believe the things that come up here. Like...
Yeah, I know. We all got our problems.
So, this policy's for my problems, not somebody else's.
Sounds very fancy. I wish I could afford special insurance for my shop.
You can. My agent says it'll cost me less than what I got now.
Yeah? Well, maybe I ought to see this guy. What company?
Great American.
I'm sure that most of you remember a children's game called Musical Chairs. Well, from time to time, I've talked about a variation of that game called Musical Saddles, which is played by the nation's top jockeys every time, or almost every time, one of the big horse races comes up. Later this afternoon at New York's Aqueduct Racetrack, the third leg of racing's Triple Crown, the Belmont Stakes, will be run. There will also be another session of Musical Saddles, this one involving two of the country's top horseback riders. First, let's look at the exception in the game. His name is Willie Shoemaker. During the winter, Shoemaker made a commitment to ride Damascus, and as the Kentucky Derby rolled around, it looked like he had made a wise choice. Damascus was the favorite. Shortly before the Derby, Shoemaker rode the horse in the Wood Memorial and was beaten by Dr. Fager. Right after that race, Shoemaker showed what an exception he is. When a big race is over, it's usual for the press to ask losing jockeys what happened. The answers are pretty much the same. I asked him for it in the stretch, and he came up empty. Or, the other horse was just too much for us. Occasionally, you might hear, no excuses. But Shoemaker was different, really different. He said he had given the horse a bad ride and that the blame belonged to him. He rode Damascus again in the Derby and finished third. Now, let's take a look at Musical Saddles jockey number one. His name is Braulio Baeza, and he was the contract rider for Darby Dan Farms until just before the Derby. In fact, in the Bluegrass Stakes, he rode the Darby Dan horse, Proud Clarion, and finished second. But by Derby time, his contract had run out, so he switched to successor for the Derby and came in sixth. In the Preakness, he rode a horse called Great Power and came in dead last, as Shoemaker and Damascus won the race. Now the Musical Saddles game really started to move. After the Preakness, Baeza again signed with Darby Dan. As their contract rider, he had first pick, and he decided to ride Proud Clarion this afternoon. That brings us to jockey number two, Bob Ussery. 2 days before the Derby, Ussery got his first look at Proud Clarion. He had been engaged to ride the horse when Baeza didn't. He rode Proud Clarion all right. In fact, he gave him a ride that some experts consider one of the best they've ever seen. He left the starting gate on a 30-1 shot and came home the winner. Then came the Preakness, and Ussery finished third with Proud Clarion. So here you have a jockey who took a horse that nobody was that crazy about and finished first and third in the Derby and the Preakness. But when it came time for the Belmont, he wasn't riding him. Earlier this week, Usry got a mount for the Belmont, a horse called Reason to Hail. This horse finished fourth in both of the other big races. All this is just another example of the confusion that seems to come up among jockeys just before a big race. You know, sometimes I think that if Paul Revere had had that much trouble picking the right horse to ride, we might still be a British colony. This is Joe Garagiola for Monitor Sports.
Joe, G for great will be heard again later today and tomorrow on Monitor, and you'll be glad to know that he can be heard weekdays, too, on NBC Radio.
My name, Jose Jimenez, the bellboy for the Bell System. Today, I am going to show you the first home movies ever shown on radio. I took them myself in all the hotels, motels, and resorts where I have hopped bells in. Roll it. See there, the beautiful lobby by the blue ocean? Did you see the man in the blue suit? He looks blue, too, because he forgot to phone ahead for reservations, so he's got no beautiful room. And there you see his wife and two blue kitties. They are mad at Daddy and green with envy of all the persons who did phone ahead and who are having a nice time. Now look over there. You see the happy man in the purple slacks talking on the baby blue telephone? He's calling home and telling everybody he's having a marvelous vacation. Even though he and his family arrived late, he called ahead and the room was waiting the way reserved rooms do. By the way, they are wearing matching red and cerise Hawaiian shirts. And, hey, wait a minute. I hope you have color radio sets.
Joe Harnell, Un Poco Rio, and in Poco Segundos at the top of the hour, the latest NBC Monitor news, Gene Rayburn here.
This is your NBC Monitor. This is your NBC Monitor. This is your station.